Hello, and welcome to Humans of Agape, a new podcast by Agape Europe. We are a community of people who make Jesus known, so lives are changed and Europe is transformed. We want to bring spiritual hope and help to people from all walks of life. I am your host, my name is Jochen Geck, and I work in the student movement in Montpellier in the south of France, and I'm curious to hear about what God is doing across Europe. So this is what this podcast is all about. I interview people who are on staff with Agape and ask them about what God is doing in their lives and ministries. In today's episode, I get to talk to Matteo Chiarelli. He's a great guy overall, and he's doing student ministry in Rome, Italy. Hello, Matteo.
Hello, Johan.
Ciao.
Ciao.
How are you, Matteo?
I'm good. Thank you. It's a beautiful day here in Rome, and yeah, it's good.
That's great. Sun is shining. And you're smiling. Matteo, you mentioned you're in Rome. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. What is it you do in Rome?
Yeah, I've been here in Rome for 8 years now, because I am actually from the south of Italy. But yeah, in the last 2 years and a half, I've been working with Agape, and right now I'm one of the team leaders of the Agape student ministry here in Rome.
Okay, student ministry in Rome. What do you love about Rome? After 8 years, you should know some things.
Oh, yeah. there's so many things that I love about Rome. It's a great city, you know, it's the eternal city. It's beautiful, and there's so much history. The thing that I like the most about Rome that you can never finish to learn something about Rome. It's always, you're always discovering something. I love walking around the city and find, you know, a beautiful corner that it's just unbelievable, and it's been there for I don't know how much.
For any of our listeners that caught the bug now and wants to visit Rome, any hidden or special places that you can recommend?
There's a beautiful church that I love, that it's called San Pietro in Montorio, which is on a hill, like right in the center of Rome. And not many people know about this church, because they always go on the very top of this hill, and this church is kind of in the middle. And I love it. It's beautiful. It's next to the Spanish embassy, which is beautiful too. So,
yeah. And not to forget about the food too.
Well, yeah, that's very important. And I'm always trying to improve my carbonara.
Excellent.
And I mean, to not mention the many good gelato places that we have here. Which today I think I'm going to get one, because it's so sunny. And
yeah, the way the sun is shining today is definitely the day to start the gelato season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always gelato season.
I guess then food-wise and just generally vibe-wise, life in Rome is great. What is ministry like in Rome?
Mm-hmm. It's good. I mean, this season, it's a little bit low, because especially January and February, students are in exams season. So it's kind of difficult to get to see them, because they're just hiding home and studying, which is good, because that's their job. But yeah, this season, it's kind of a little bit low. But it's been good because I'm focusing more on my new staff training. And because we have a mixed team, we have some people from the States, good from England, and good from Czech Republic. They're studying the language right now, and it's a good time of the year to do that, because it's more difficult to get to see students. And I'm very glad for that, because it's very important for them, and they're doing a great job. Yeah.
Hmm. So you have a very mixed team. What does your team look like?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think it's a gift from God to have such a mixed team, because you can learn so much about even your own culture because they help you to see the blind spots in your culture because you're just used to things because you grow up like that and you do things as you do it. But sometimes you don't even know why you do those things. So having people coming from outside, it helps you to even challenge the things that you are used to do, your routine. And it's very good. I love it. And, you know, there's some people that have been in ministry for so much longer than me. And it's so good to hear their perspective, their ideas. And it's rich. It's beautiful. I love it. I've been on campus a few times with one of my teammates. His name is Brandon. And he's very good asking questions and like get into the conversation with students. And he's just very natural in that. And I think he's, I think he's gifted in that, but it's also it also comes from experience, you know, and doing that because he has been doing that for a longer time than me. Also, I think it's very cool to do that with someone else that is not from the same country that you're in, because it's so much easier to get students interested in talking to you. And that's really cool because, you know, I can have the insight for the culture, and my teammate can be like the attraction in a sense for the student. It's good because it's a good team.
So you're kind of a dream team when you go out together.
I love it. Yeah.
So you mentioned going out on campus. Can you share a little bit about what a week in your ministry looks like? Mm-hmm. It's probably different depending on the time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, as I was saying, like this time it's a lot different. So we've been studying the Bible with two students that they're not Christian now, and it's been very good to see their passion about the Bible. And even if they are also in exams time, they ask us to meet them and keep reading the Bible, and it's been really, really good. And also, like, it's very cool to get their questions about, you know, Christianity and religion and all the questions that they ask because they're reading the Bible for the first time. It's very cool, and it could be very challenging even for your own knowledge about Jesus and the Bible. So it's very good. Sometimes they help us to see more about our Lord, and it's very cool.
So yeah, you go on campus, you read the Bible with these guys. What else do you do in your week?
Yeah, I mean, we try to go on campus and meet like random students with some evangelistic tools like Illuminanima, which maybe you know from the name Solarium.
I do know that.
Yeah. We are also trying to meet students from other churches here in Rome. And so actually, like early this week, we had a meeting with the youth team of this new church. It's here in Rome, which was very cool to even just to get to know the leadership of that church and to share the vision of Agape and to meet the students are attending their church. It was very good to see that unity of the body of Christ, and mm-hmm. It's been really good. Yeah.
Talking about churches, what's it like to do student ministry in a very much majority Catholic city or country?
Yeah,
even?
That's a good question. And most of the questions that we get from the new students that we meet are about the differences between the Catholic Church and the evangelical world. And it's, you know, it's interesting, and it's sometimes it's hard because students, young people, and especially young people, are very disappointed about the church, unfortunately, specifically Catholic Church. And so they project this disappointed to God. And for us, we need to help them understand that, of course, God loves the church, but the church is, we will never find a perfect church here in earth. And so we need to help them to trust God first again and have him redeem their ideas of the church.
Those two students you mentioned that you read the Bible with, are they from a Catholic background too?
Yeah, both of them, one more the other, but both of them, like, it's just traditionally Catholic. So their parents, they don't go to church, but they are just Catholic because they grew up in Italy, and that's, you know, the first religion that you find. And so they don't really know what actually mean to be Catholic. So, yeah. Hmm.
What did you study at university?
I studied interior design.
Interior design. Now that's different from student ministry.
A little bit.
Does it have any impact on the way you do ministry now?
I think so, in a way, yes. Because the thing that I liked the most when I was studying interior design was the process of designing things and the process of telling story with visual things and objects. And so I really like to do that now in ministry, and when I'm sharing my faith, I really like to use pictures or drawings or things like that.
What kind of drawings do you use?
I like to draw with just a simple black pen. You know, it's really cool because usually it's always something from the Word of God. And maybe I'm just reading something and something is stuck to me, and I just want to draw it down. And sometimes it just helps other people to understand it better, because I think, I don't know, visual, it's kind of a common language that everybody can see and understand. And yeah, I think it's just a gift from God to help people to understand him in a good way.
That's beautiful. Is that also how you would say you can use your specific gifts for ministry?
Yeah, I definitely would like to improve that more. Yeah, I definitely think it's a good way that I can use it, because it's, I think, a gift that God gave me, and I don't want to take it for me. I want to use it for other people, and I think especially in Italy, because it's, you know, a culture very well known for arts and creativity, I think it's a good thing to use.
What would you say are you most passionate about in your ministry?
I'm very passionate about worship, if that makes sense. I'll try to explain it. I think that everything that we do is a worship to God. It's a response to who God is. And I'm very passionate about that, because we, as a team, we're going through this Bible study that is called Gospel Fluency, and it helps us to be fluent in the language of the gospel and to speak it in the everyday life. And it's very cool. And lately we were talking about the hero of our story, which should be Jesus.
Of course.
And the author was talking about how sometimes we can make Jesus as a, like, supporting character of our story, and the hero, it's not him anymore, but we became the hero of the story. Because if we can tend to talk more about, you know, ourselves, our sin, our self-effort to get rid of the sin, and Jesus just comes at some point and invited us to trust him. But actually, like, he's my creator, he's the one that was always there for me, and he's the one that is shaping me, and he's the one that stole me from the darkness. So he's the center of the story, he's the one that does everything, and I can not do anything without him. So I think, yeah, I'm very passionate to kind of help people understand how that's very important, and how that should be something that we have to think about every day.
What does that look like every day when you're on campus talking to students, or when you're doing the Bible study with the guys who don't know Jesus yet?
Yeah, I think it is just an exercise for me even to try to talk about Jesus in every single situation of my life, and try to relate my personal experience to him. And it's a challenge for me to be, you know, in love of Jesus every day more and more and more, because you know, it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so the more I'm in love about Jesus, the more I speak about him.
Do you have an example of how you used that, or how that happened on campus maybe, or in a conversation?
Yeah, I think even asking good questions about like personal life, but to try to help people think about their story and about how in that story there's always a redemption that is coming. I think that's really important, because especially today, and especially here in Italy, students could be very discouraged because there's not a lot of hope for their future, because they're just studying and studying, but they don't know what's going to happen to them after university, because there's not a lot of job here in Italy. And so even to help them understand how everything that they're doing, it's valuable, but it's not the ultimate value that they have, I think that's very important.
So you show them how the gospel speaks into that situation of maybe hopelessness and uncertainty in the future.
Yeah, in a way. I think that's very important. And to help them to give hope to their life, and help them understand that everything that they're doing, it's going to be important in the future and can change the country that we live in. But we need to do that with Jesus and with his strength.
Let's talk about that country that you live in, this country of extravagant beauty and creativity, but maybe also of, like you mentioned, economic instability and uncertain future. What in your culture points you to Jesus?
There's many things, even, you know, some beautiful art pieces that are hidden all over the city. They point me at Jesus. I was talking yesterday with my girlfriend about one of the painting that Caravaggio did about Matthew's calling, and it's in a beautiful church here in Rome, and how Jesus' hands that is pointing at Matthew, it's the same hand that Michelangelo painted in the Sistine Chapel, but not the hands of God, but the hands of Adam. And it's beautiful because it's just, you know, it's a hand in a painting in one of the 1,000 churches that are here in Rome, but it has such a huge meaning for believers, because it's saying that Jesus is calling Matthew, and this Jesus is the new Adam, the new creation, the Son of God, only Son of God, and he's 100% God and also 100% man, and it's so powerful. And at the same time, it makes me sad in a way, because it's right there in front of many people, and I don't know how many people see it every day, but no one is actually getting the meaning of that painting. So I think that it's our responsibility to help people to see that this is not only beauty, but that this beauty is coming from God, and it's so much more than what we think.
Mm-hmm. And when we talked earlier, you also mentioned how you can find Jesus in the Italian love for a community around a table and for sharing meals together.
Yeah, I mean, that's fundamental, I think. Yeah, I mean, we're Italian, we love to eat, and we love good food and good company. And I think that's one of the things that probably I learned working also with people from other countries, because we in Italy, like, we built trust at the table, like eating together. Like, if we eat together, I know I can trust you. I know, like we are friends, and I know, like, I can tell you things, and I can trust you. But in other cultures, and it's not like that, and it's not wrong, it's just different. But I know, especially maybe in America, like, I can trust you if I know that if I tell you to do some things, you'll do it, and I see that you're trustworthy, and which is a good thing, I think. But it's just different here in Italy. I need time to get to know you and to actually, you know, just have a meal together.
So it's something that reminds us a lot of what we see in the New Testament.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jesus was always eating with somebody, and he actually was inviting himself to other people's house. So I love that.
Yeah, I feel like when he wasn't teaching or praying, he was eating. I think in the Gospel of Luke alone, you have 10 accounts of how he ate with people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's beautiful, and I love that about Jesus, because I think everything is based on relationships, and it's very important. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth, to show us the love of God in that way, like that he is our friend, he is with us all the time, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. And not to forget, again, the good food and the beauty and the enjoyment you find in that great food.
Absolutely, yeah, I love many things, like, as I said, carbonara, amatriciana, good tiramisu. It's always...
Oh, you're making me hungry. And you're making me want to come back to Rome.
Please come. It's almost lunchtime. You have an hour and a half.
I'm a little too far away, I'm afraid. But I'll definitely come get back on that invitation.
Good.
With all that beauty and all that enjoyment, are there things in your life or in your ministry maybe that you're also struggling with?
You know, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged here in Italy, and I'm sure it's true about all Europe, but it's easy to get discouraged because most of the people, as soon as we say that we want to talk about Jesus and Christianity, they're very skeptical. And being disappointed about the church, it's very hard to get to actually talk about Jesus. So that could be a huge challenge that can get you very discouraged. But at the same time, I think it's very good to remind ourselves that, you know, Jesus was oppressed by people around him, and how he didn't stop there, but it went further, and he died for us, for that oppression, and so we don't have to fear anything anymore. And it's something that I have to remind myself every day. And also, I think Agape Europe, and it's very good for this, and even this podcast, I'm very thankful, because it's very good to be reminded that I'm not alone, and that there's other people that are praying for a revival here in Europe. And it's very good to know that I'm part of the body of Christ, and we are all together, united in this.
That's good. What is something you're learning right now?
Well, I'm trying to improve my drawing skills. So I have a new pen, Stilografica. I don't know how to say that in English. And so I'm trying to improve that by drawing more, and even copying some things, and even actually spending some time with the Lord with some good music and trying to draw more.
And we're sadly getting to the end of this episode, but if you could leave our listeners with one message, one thing to take away, one encouragement, what would that be?
I think I was sharing this with my team when we were doing this Bible study with Gospel Fluency, to think about how God is perfect in everything, and not think about how we can feel the failure of not doing well in some things, but to remind ourselves that Jesus did everything perfectly. And I don't have to try to be perfect, but I just need to allow him to be in me and be truthful in me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's great. Thank you so much, Matteo, for your time and for everything you shared.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Johan. It was a pleasure for me.
And let's talk soon. Bye.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Matteo Chiarelli. He's co-team leader in the student ministry in Rome, Italy. Find Agape Europe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or check out our website, agapeeurope.org. I'm Jochen Geck, and this is Humans of Agape. See you next time.